Thank you, Trevor, for leading the service so far, for Colin for reading, and for all of you for leading us in the music as well. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 10 following. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 following, where we read, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.'" I originally come from a county called the County of Wiltshire. It's a strange place up to the north of here. And there are one or two strange people in Wiltshire. Some would say there's one or two less now that I've moved south. But there's one particular person who lives very close to where I grew up in a town called Melksham. And his name is Andy. And I don't imagine there's anybody quite like Andy in this room. How many times a year do you celebrate Christmas? 3, 4? How many 25ths of December are there? There's only one. So you celebrate Christmas once a year. Well, Andy doesn't. Andy celebrates Christmas every single day. Every single day since July 1993, he has celebrated Christmas. That is 22 and a half years worth of solid Christmases. 8,220-ish, I didn't factor in all the leap years, of Christmases, one after another. He gives himself a present every single day. I think he's probably run out of other people to give him presents, so he has to give himself a present. He writes himself cards every day, keeps posting them so that every morning he receives Christmas cards. He's had thousands and thousands of turkey dinners. And when the rest of us are taking down all of the lights, Andy is putting more and more up. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I don't live next to Andy. Because what we do at Christmas, I think once a year, is just about plenty. However, there's actually something about the real meaning of Christmas, the real story of the birth of Jesus Christ, that we should celebrate every single day. And we should remember about it all of the time. This is, after all, a story of good news, of great joy, which will be for all people. And the amazing things that God has done for us through Jesus Christ, his Son, is the greatest good news that I have ever, ever heard, and that I ever will hear, and that lots of people in this room have ever heard or ever will hear. And we just really want to share that good news with you today. But the good news starts with some men being scared out of their wits. I want you to picture this, because this is real history that God is describing to us. We saw in that picture that Trevor left us with that there were those shepherds. Don't know that there were just three of them. There might have been more, might have been less. But there were shepherds, and they were in the fields outside of Bethlehem. And these shepherds, they were looking after their sheep, and they got the short straw. They got the night shift. It's never, ever much fun doing the night shift. Seems to go on and on and on. I remember I used to do it when I was a student. I used to go to college in the day and then become a security guard looking after a big building at night. And it was horrible. Well, these poor shepherds, they're out in the open air in the fields. They're looking after the sheep. Listening out for noises that might suggest there's a thief coming. He wants to steal one of their sheep, or maybe the growl of a bear, or the roar of a lion, although they probably don't roar if they're about to attack, but they're listening out for the approach of predators. Every noise probably makes them jump. If I'd been there, I would have got a rock thrown it behind one of them, and then we'd have all jumped when they saw what was happening. I expect you'd have done the same thing. But then suddenly, in the midst of all of this, they get the shock of their lives. An angel of the Lord appears. It goes from being totally dark to being gloriously light in a second. I get quite cross with my wife sometimes when she comes in really early in the morning with a cup of tea and she puts the light on. My eyes aren't ready to adjust. I said, turn that off. Well, they've gone from pitch black to the glory of the Lord being shone around them. It's an angel of God, and we read that they were filled with fear. They're used to taking on thieves and foxes, but an angel. And I guess they were scared because they didn't know what this meant. Was this bad news? Was the angel coming to maybe tell them off and judge them for something bad that they'd done in the past? But the angel says to them, don't worry. And here's the first point. This is a story about good news. It's a story about joy. Behold, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Now, I love hearing good news, don't you? You're allowed to. You do. I can give you some bad news if you want. Well, I love hearing good news. This is a world in which there is so much bad news and so much sad news that sometimes we're just craving good news. And God has the best news for us. And this news in Jesus Christ isn't something which is good for just a little while, that will make you joyful for just a few seconds. When I was a boy, probably about, I don't know, 8 or 9, there was this present I so wanted for Christmas. It was in the window of Reg Smith and Ford Sports in Bradford-on-Avon. And it was a big green box. And it was Sabutio Football Floodlighting Edition. This is the era before computer games. It's almost the era before colour televisions. This is back when the world was sepia. And you had to make up your own games. Well, there was this football game. And it was brilliant. It had a great big green pitch that you smoothed out. It had goals with nets. There were 22 little players who each stood on this base thing that kept them standing upright. And it had floodlights as well. And I used to spend most of December with my nose pressed up against the window of Reg Smith and Ford Sports, just thinking, if only I had that. I pestered my mum. And I said, please, can I have that? If I have that, my joy will be full. I will never, ever ask you for anything ever again in my life because I won't need anything ever again. If I could have Sabutio Floodlighting Edition. And then just a few days before Christmas, it disappeared from the window. Obviously, someone else had got it. I was heartbroken. But then it appeared in our living room on Christmas morning. Mum had bought it for me and I was so excited. My joy just overflowed. My life was complete until my cousin knelt on Kevin Keegan and gave him career-ending injuries that involved having to fix him with plasticine and araldite. And he was never the same player after that. And then the cat knocked over one of the floodlights and broke it. And the ball got lost behind the Shea Lounge. And then eventually, after it got put in a box, because it didn't give me all the joy that I thought it would, a couple of years later, I see my mum polishing the table with that beautiful green pitch. She cut it up into dusters. It gave me great joy, but then the joy just evaporated. Well, the joy that God gives here isn't a little present that lasts for a day or for a year. It is joy which is, the Bible says, inexpressible. I mean, Christians can't really quite tell you how great it is. They try, but they never, ever manage to do it justice. It's joy which is full, and it's joy which is always. And I've learned that through the difficult and the easy times of life. I've learned that in the happy and the sad times of life, that whilst my life is changing and difficult things happen, this joy that God has given me in Jesus, it goes on and on, because Jesus doesn't change. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And notice this, it's also for all the people. That's what the angel says. Sometimes when other people get good news, we should be happy for them, shouldn't we? And yet we find that difficult at times, because we want what they've got and we're envious. We shouldn't be like that. When other people get good news, we should just rejoice. But the good news that God has got for us, the greatest good news, is for everybody, for all people. It's not just for the shepherds and the wise men. It wasn't just for Joseph and Mary. It wasn't just for the Jews. It was for all people. It's offered to me and to you. And one of the things that I find heartbreaking is when I'm telling people about how great Jesus is and what he's done and the hope that he's given and the joy that he gives, people say, well, I wish I knew what you knew. And I'm saying, but it's for all people. Why won't you listen to what God has to say? Why won't you receive this great gift that God gives to us? And if we want it, let's listen to what God is saying. So first of all, it's a story about good news. Secondly, it's a story about a saviour. It's about someone who's come to rescue us and save us. But what from? You look around us this morning and you can't think I'm necessarily in any imminent danger. There's not some tsunami rushing up Southampton Water this morning. There's not a meteorite hurtling towards Southampton about to smash into West Quay. There might be an avalanche of credit card bills about to arrive in January, but you can cope with those, you can sort those out. You think, I'm not in danger. What am I in danger from? Or who am I in danger from? Well, remember when the angel spoke to Joseph, he said, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their, what? Sins. So this saviour has come to save people from their sins. You might think, is that all? You shouldn't be thinking like that. You should be thinking, is it possible? That is such a big thing for someone to do. Could they possibly save us from our sins? You see, the sins of this world, the sins of our lives, have caused all the problems in this world. You'll agree with me that this is a pretty sad and broken world at times. There are wars, there's illness, there are tears, there's evil, there's death. And it wasn't always like this. God made this world and it was good. He made us in his image and we knew him and loved him and we enjoyed him. We were with him. And then we listened to Satan. And we broke with God. We rebelled against God. We didn't want to be under God's control, which was good and wonderful. We wanted to be God. We wanted to be in charge. We wanted to push God away. And God removes his presence from us. And our sin, our rebellion, brings in all this sadness and brokenness into our world and into our lives. But when we did that to God, God didn't give up on us. God said, I'm going to send you a saviour who's going to fix things. He's going to make all things right again. The shepherds would have known bits about the promises. They would have known from their Old Testament scriptures that this saviour who was the Christ that they're being told about here, the Messiah, he was going to defeat Satan and crush his head. God had told them that in Genesis chapter 3. He was the saviour who was going to wipe away all of the tears from his people. He'd be the saviour who would mend broken hearts. He'd stop the biggest war of all, the war that was going on between us and God and make peace. He'd be the Prince of Peace. He'd be the one who would do something to take away our sins and what they deserved. He'd be the one who would defeat death. The Old Testament actually promises that. I'm going to swallow up death in victory, God says. I'm going to defeat it. He's going to make all things new and give us new heavens and a new earth. This is the one that the angels are announcing has just arrived, that the world had been waiting for. I say this every Christmas to the people who have the misfortune to hear me all the time. That carol we've just sung, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in you tonight. It is so true. Everything that this world had been waiting for, everything that this world was longing for, crying out for, hope, life, joy, salvation, was resting on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the angels tell the shepherds, he's come. And he's just down the road in Bethlehem. So here's the first point. It was a story of good news. It was a story of salvation, of a saviour. And here's the last point. It's the story about a baby. The angel says, and this will be the sign, you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. I wonder if that came as a surprise to them. They'd be thinking about all the things that the Christ was going to do. Destroy death, defeat Satan, make everything new. And they're told that this person has come. They'd be expecting someone 20 foot tall, wouldn't they? Someone built like three Jason Stathams. Someone enormous and powerful. Somebody who at least would be staying in the Bethlehem Hilton. And yet they're told that the sign they need to look for is a tiny baby wrapped up in a blanket. That's what this swaddling cloth thing is. Something that stops the arms and legs moving too much because babies wriggle. And lying in an animal's feeding trough. And it just doesn't seem fair, does it? All that weight, all that responsibility lying on the shoulders of this tiny human baby. But you know, he's no ordinary baby. Yes, he's Mary's son. He is a perfect human child. But he is God's son. He is God stooping down into our humanity to be our saviour. He is, as the angels tell us, the Lord. Nobody else could save us. All of our family had failed us. We'd failed ourselves. And God's answer was not to run away from us, but to come to us, to give us his son. This was Emmanuel, God with us. And this child lying in that manger was the wonderful counsellor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Can you get your mind round that? God who can't be contained by the universe, he's bigger than the universe, has humbled himself to become our brother, that he might be our saviour. And he's the one who won't fail us. The child grows up into a toddler, into a young boy, then a teenager, then he moves into his 20s and 30s. There's something awesome about his life. It's different. There are times when God just rips heaven open and shouts through and says, this is my son with whom I am so pleased. You listen to him. He's the saviour. We see his power over the sadness and sickness and brokenness of this world. He's the one who can still the storm. He can heal the sick. He can cleanse the untouchables. When there are bad, broken people, he goes and sits down with them and he encourages them. He comforts the brokenhearted. He's the one who feeds the hungry. He raises the dead. But those were just signs of a greater work that he was born to do. Ultimately, he goes to the cross to offer himself as a substitute, somebody in our place, to offer a sacrifice himself to his Father for our sins. This great saviour never ever picks up a sword and starts to fight people here on earth. He wins the battle through love. He gives himself for us. Now you're thinking, hang on, this preacher's got it all wrong. He's talking about Easter now. Doesn't he realise that this is Christmas? Well, don't disconnect those things. He is the people who will save his people. He is the man who will save his people from their sins. And he does that by receiving what we deserved ultimately at Calvary's cross and giving us what he deserved. And that's the gift that God gave. And he tells you to receive that gift, to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. Don't miss, this is the greatest story ever, the greatest news ever. God didn't promise us a couple of days holiday. He's promised us eternal life. God hasn't given us some minuscule present that your cousin's going to kneel on and break. He's given you his son to save you and be your Lord, your King, now and forevermore. And he tells you to trust him. No wonder the angels burst into song, singing glory to God in the highest. What fabulous things God has done, giving us his son to give us peace. Well, amongst all the other gifts that you receive, please ensure that supremely you receive the greatest gift of all, which is from God in Christ Jesus, the forgiveness of our sins, the righteousness that Jesus has given to us, and peace with God this Christmas. You know that you'll have not just a happy Christmas, but a joyful one. And the joy will go on and on and on, not just through the next year, but through the never-ending ages of eternity. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the great, awesome gift of Jesus Christ. We praise you that he was prepared to humble himself, to leave behind his home in heaven and know what poverty was and know what homelessness was and know what it was to be a refugee, but supremely to know what it was to represent his people and carry their sins so that he could give us his life. Thank you that through him we have peace with you. We can say that our warfare is over. We have hope. And we pray that we'll all understand and believe that this good news of great joy is not just for other people, it's for all people, and that includes us. And by faith, we'll trust in Jesus and ask him to be our Lord and Saviour. Amen.